Sit down and play wife. Have you submitted to your husbands? Don't come up here and try to challenge the way the church is functioning and maybe dysfunctional because you've got other ideas. Have you submitted to your husband? Because your husband didn't bring this idea to me. Because there's too many men out here in the church who aren't in the Word, who aren't leading their families. And so the wives are the spiritual heads.
Hey, y'all. We are back with another video. Still in quarantine times. But something that we have gotten a lot in our comment section and even like in passing conversations that we've had is about the topic of submission and submission in marriage. And to be completely honest, I am over it for so many reasons because so many people really don't understand what true submission looks like.
Right. People take it a lot at like wives submit to your husbands.
And that's the beginning and the end of the conversation.
Uh-huh.
And ain't nobody else got no other responsibilities and no other pieces of scripture are considered.
Right.
So
right.
What we're here to do is we just want to spread some light on how we, what submission looks like in our marriage.
Yeah.
Right?
I think we're pretty, I won't say forward thinking, but we treat each other as partners, mm-hmm. as like teammates. We're in this marriage together,
mm-hmm.
Side by side.
So that rolls.
That rolls in.
Let's just roll. Baby, how does submission to you look in our marriage?
Before we get started,
uh-huh.
I'm going to read the Bible verse.
Go ahead now.
It's from Ephesians 5, and this is where everyone takes marriage and marital submission.
Mm-hmm. Even though this is not the only place in the Bible where submission is talked about.
I'm going to read from the ESV. All right, it says Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And there's a few more verses after this, but most people want to stop here. That's not where it stops.
Ooh-wee.
And I always love that right before this, Paul is addressing a lot of people, and he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. So if you want to talk about just this verse, realize that it's sandwiched in between submit to one another and a lot of instructions for the husband in a marriage. So, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Boom. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Boom. That's not it. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to and everything to their husbands. Okay, that's the wife section. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish.
That's a tall order.
It's not done there. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. Because we are members of his body. Mm-hmm. It's not done yet. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, all that being said, the instruction to the wife is, submit to your husband. As the husband submits to Christ, and as you would submit to Christ. And then it gives a whole lot of exposition about how a husband should treat his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think all of that is because Paul was only talking to men. I think Paul was talking equally to men and women at the church of Ephesus. So I don't want to get into a sermon here, but people...
Whenever you got to take us to church, baby, boo! Take us to church!
But people love to talk about wives submit to your husband. And then that's it, end cap. And that's not the end of it. Paul gives a lot of revelation to how the husband should treat his wife with love, with care, with admonishment, with adoration, nourishing, cherishing. So, I get that it says, wives, submit to your husband, and it doesn't say, husbands, submit to your wives.
Mm-hmm.
I get that. The husband is the head of the household, but I don't think it's like this huge thing that people make it out to be, like the woman has no voice, the woman has no power, the woman has no authority, you know, like say so, and what the husband says goes every single time.
And this is what I want to say about the, in the, like you said, in the scripture before, it says that we are to submit one to another. So no, it doesn't directly say, it says submit one to the other, wives submit to your husband. Even though it doesn't say directly submit husband, it does tell the husbands to submit.
Right.
Because we are all to submit one to another.
Uh-huh. And not only that, it gives you, you know, that much more of like a clarification, which I won't say, if your husband isn't doing these things, don't submit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say that. I don't think that's what the word says.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that in order for a woman to submit to her husband as she would to Christ, she can't submit to a husband who is doing foolish things out here that are going to compromise her relationship with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So that submission, submit to your husband, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
It has parameters on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, those parameters are like a protection zone.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, go ahead.
I think that, on the topic of submission, I think people don't realize that although Paul talks about it there, it's so what submission really looks like is demonstrated throughout the entire Bible.
Because
mm-hmm. what submission is not blind obedience.
Right.
So when you submit something, you submit it for review. You submit it for a conversation. You submit it for openness. Submission is not blind obedience. Submission doesn't mean I submit this to you and then whatever you say goes. That ain't how it works. God gives us free will as free will beings. So why then would he come in and like
strip that free will
of you? I think me and John, we went through this 10-week marriage workshop. And when I tell you that thing was so beautiful, when we got to the week where it talked about submission, we looked at Moses and we looked at how Moses submitted. Because the thing about it is, as wives are to submit to their husbands, the demonstration of submission should be like the example of submission should also be in the husband. Is the husband submitting to Christ? Is he submitting to the will and the movements of God? Is he even submitting to some of the things that, you know, I need or the children need or the household needs? Like, the husband also has to demonstrate what submission looks like. So when we looked at Moses, we saw that Moses went up to the mountain and was talking to God, and Moses was 100% submitted to God. But even in his submission, he had a voice. Moses was like, "Hey God, don't kill everybody." And God was like, "I'm killing everybody. Everybody get murked up. Why you standing here talking to me right now? They down there building idols." Uh-huh. And Moses was like,
If I find one, I feel you, Lord.
You know what I'm saying? I understand what you're saying. But on me, Big G, on me. Don't kill him for me. And God was like, okay.
And he also, Moses also brought back God's word to him.
Mm-hmm.
Not that God forgets his word or that God changes his mind, but
Moses was like, "God, remember you said this."
Right. Which I think, in my opinion, God doesn't change.
Right.
So
God, the hearts of men do.
Right. So God doesn't change. So like, this to me is a perfect example of what submission looks like, in that you can challenge something back to where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good example of what submission looks like.
Yeah. I think
as a husband under Christ, or as Noah as the leader of the Israelites under Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's just a big point of like how in other places of the Bible submission is demonstrated. Mm-hmm. Like Moses still had a voice. Moses talked to God and was like, "God, don't do that." And God was like, "No, I'm about to kill him." And Moses was like, "No, if you love me, mm-hmm. if you love me, save them." And God was like, "Okay, go on, talk to your people, get them to you know, stop building these idols out of whatever they was building out of metal." And so I think that was a beautiful example to see that submission is not blind obedience. This is not a servant. I'm not a servant my husband in the capacity of like a slave. I'm not a slave servant wife. I am his partner. And even if we go take it back to the Garden of Eden, like God made Adam and God said that the things, the vegetation and the animals were not suitable partners. Because all of those things, Adam had dominion over.
Right.
So when God made Eve, he didn't make Eve to be dominated. Mm-hmm. He made her to be a partner to him because he was already dominating everything and nothing that was currently made was equal, could stand with him. So even though we fell and, you know, Eve ate the fruit and gave it to Adam and we, you know, we are in this present world because of that sin, like Eve was never created to be his servant or to be domineered by him. She was created because nothing else was as powerful and could have that dominion like he had. Eve was created to share dominion. Mm-hmm. So I think that is what people, like,
that's where it gets skewed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people get it so skewed.
I think,
I don't know if it's like fragile egos that don't want to be checked and like questioned.
Mm, ooh.
Like, don't, I said what I said and don't question it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's it, if they're just weak men out here walking around who need to have what they say be the final word and let nobody put up any, you know, word against it.
Mm-hmm.
Because in our marriage, Janae has a voice, I have a voice, mm-hmm. we talk about things.
Mm-hmm. We submit things, like, what you think about this?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing about the men being the head. The head is the head. It sees, you know, it sees everything. It sees the vision. It sees blah, blah, blah. But just because it's the head doesn't mean it's all, like, the head is always going to be the lead, right? Because even with, if we think about our anatomy, the head can only go where the feet and the legs and the arms take it. You get what I'm saying? So sometimes the wife or even the children sometimes might have more skill, might have more gifting, might have more anointing in an area. So as the head, you should be able to see that and be like, okay, baby, you take the lead on this.
Right. Right. You definitely got some good points. And I feel like I did too.
That's what
I think. So, like, in our marriage...
Because I was about to say, we got to get back to what we do.
In our marriage, there mm-hmm. are times when we disagree on stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And Janae says, it's your call, baby.
Mm-hmm.
And there are times when I say, it's your call, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Because we respect each other. Mm-hmm. And we have a healthy relationship like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, which is critical. And there are times when Janae says, I don't agree with you, but I respect your decision in this.
If you want to support us further, head over to Patreon, where you can join for just $5 a month. We shoot exclusive content just for our patrons, and there's other exclusive content over there as well.
When we think about the relationship of wife, husband, and children, it's supposed to, what specifically wife and husband, it's supposed to mimic that of the relationship of Christ and the body of, and the church, and even like how the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit work. The point is they're all God. They're all part of the Godhead, and they are all as powerful and all have equal footing. Just the day-to-day operation of that, how that plays out is different. Same thing for the husband or wife. Like, we are equal in stature, equal in positioning. Like, God doesn't love him more than he loves me. He doesn't speak to him more than he speaks to me. We are equal, but our how we function in our marriage is different. He can't carry babies. Okay. I'm the only one that can carry babies. He can't breastfeed. I'm the one that breastfeeds. Like, it's just, it's certain things, it's certain functions in our marriage that
mm-hmm.
he can't do and I can't do. And I think even as it, for us, even as it goes down to like just the everyday tasks, like the cooking and the cleaning and da, 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 we partner
mm-hmm.
on that kind of stuff. Because I had one of my best friends in high school, his father is and forever will be in yes. the name, an amazing cook.
Mm-hmm.
And in their marriage, he was the one that cooked all the meal because he was gifted to, like, it honestly, it would have been a travesty if he wasn't the person that cooked their meals in the house because he was so good at it and he loved to do it. You have to figure out what works and does not work for your marriage. I think anytime we try to say how every marriage should be, we are out of line. We are out of line. For some people in their marriage, the way they want to operate the day-to-day of their house is that the woman does the cooking, the cleaning. And in other households, it's a more collaborative approach. I think whatever you do in your household, if it is true to you and both people are on board and they find love and joy in that, and it's, you know, to the glory of God, then be that, do that. I think when we get in a position where we have men or women telling other men or women, hey, wife, if you ain't cooking, you wrong. If you ain't cleaning the house and cleaning everybody draws you, I think that's where we get in trouble. And I think when people at large talk about submission, that's really what they be talking about. Submission is so much deeper than who cooked the meals and who cleaned the draws. Like, that is what you talking about, submission? That's it? What?
That's fair. I was kind of wondering, like, how we got on to gender roles and, like, how this was going to tie back to submission. But, yeah, that is it.
People take gender roles for submission. And it's so much. Submission is a spiritual concept.
Yeah, it is.
And people like to wrap it around gender roles.
Right. As far as, like, gender roles go.
For us.
Janae makes money. I make money. Janae cooks. I cook. I wash the clothes, Janae folds them. For the longest time, Janae washed and folded. For a while, I washed and folded.
We are a partnership in the truest form. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing is
above or beneath either one of us. We see it as
what this is my part. Yeah.
Right. So, as it goes back to, like, submission, I know that there is more to wives submit to your husbands than cooking and cleaning. And for the husbands, it's more than just providing financially for your family.
Yeah.
You should be a father figure in your children's life.
Strong.
You should, you know, support your wife emotionally, love her, take care of her, tend to her needs.
Mm-hmm.
And love her like it says, like you love your own body, love her. Take care of her, take care of her aches, take care of her pains, massage them things out. keep it in tip-top shape. You gotta, as a husband, it's a role of yours to make sure that your wife is loved, cared for, provided for,
seen, heard,
listen, man, that's a husbands just try to give too much advice. Janae will talk to me and list out her problems, and my innate whatever natural reaction is, this is how you should fix this. This, and Janae doesn't want that. Sometimes she wants me to, like, help her work through a problem and find a solution, but other times she just wants to vent. And everyone can relate to that. Sometimes you don't want people to tell you how to fix a situation. You just want to get stuff off your chest. But I feel like frequently men think that their job is just to fix all their problems for their wife, and sometimes your job is just to listen.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't got to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you will. Sometimes she'll ask you to. Mm-hmm. Ask your wife what she needs. That's one thing that Janae has communicated to me that I've tried to take to heart.
Stop telling me. Trying to fit. Ask me what I need. And do I need a friend? Mm-hmm. Do I need a listener? Do I need a detective? Ask me.
Right. So there's so much more than just submit. Like, it's still like, submit to one another. Wives, submit to your husband is... Christ, or as the church has submitted to Christ. Husbands, love your wife. And it's also, again, sandwiched after submit to one another. So there's things where, like, Janae is an expert in some things, and I'm not going to try and talk over her because I think what she's saying is hers and not what I want to say. Like, Janae...
And I think that's indicative of a secure, godly man. A godly man ain't got to hush you up. Uh-huh. Sit you down, quiet you up, domineer, be seen a certain way. Mm-hmm. A solid, secure, godly man will see, again, the head, the vision. He will see it and sit back when he needs to.
So Janae and I were in the car talking about this a little bit more the other day and just really got some revelation about just the importance of the spiritual roles for a husband and wife versus what society has created as these, you know, gender roles and gender norms for a husband and wife of financial income for the husband and then cooking and cleaning for the wife. As the Bible says, you know, there's so much more of a spiritual duty for the husband and the wife, the father and the mother for the family. You know, as the husband is the spiritual head of the house, he should provide that spiritual vision for the family itself. You know, he should be leading prayer and worship. He should be, you know, teaching his kids in the ways to grow. He should be spending quality time with wife and kids, just enjoying that time with them, disciplining them with patience, and just really loving on his family first and foremost the way that God loves us. And for our a wife and a mother, you know, she has such a spiritual duty that the man can't fulfill, and that's, you know, childbirth and pregnancy and just nursing. And there's so much of a spiritual, you know, importance there with the creation of life and the creation of a soul, like inside of her, and her nursing that child and then bringing it forth to life through childbirth and then nursing it, you know, through that first few years of life. So there's so much more than just cooking and cleaning or bringing home a paycheck to what a role of a husband and wife should be, and then, you know, how that plays in with submission. Like, you can submit to your husband if you know that he is being the spiritual head and creating that spiritual vision and that being that spiritual rock for the family.
Right. I think it's so a couple things that I've got is like,
it's coming out. Go on, let it.
God gave all of us our own personalities and our own desires, and our own passions, and our own skills and mm-hmm. competencies. And if, as a man, you're a phenomenal fitted bed sheet folder, fold them fitted bed sheets. That's a funny example, but that's so, like, true. Like, if you're a good chef, man, cook for your wife. Like, what? Mm-hmm. If your wife is a savant, you know, computer coder, let that woman go out there and get her bread. Mm-hmm. So God gave us our own personalities.
Yes.
And I think there's some form factor to what a husband should be and to what a wife should be. Mm-hmm. Yes. I do think the word of God gives us that mm-hmm. as an outline.
Right.
But we also have flexibility in that. And we also have flexibility in what we are as husband and wife and mm-hmm. like partners.
And then I think with me, this whole topic of submission, where I get irritated the most is I used to hardly see anybody asking men,
How are you leading
your household?
Yeah.
How are you the spiritual, come on, man of God, how are you the spiritual rock for your family? Mm-hmm. How are you the spiritual head for your wife? Mm-hmm. I don't see that, because as he read earlier, the instructions that Paul gives a husband, it's a tall, tall, tall order that does not end with provide. Mm-hmm. He said, love her. He said, cherish her. When we really think about how Jesus Christ loved us, mm-hmm. Jesus was brutally murdered. Mm-hmm. Brutally murdered to protect us, to restore us, and to love us. I feel like we don't really, the what Jesus did for us and continues to do for us, God told the husbands to do that, mm-hmm. to take the brunt and the bruises that the husband's supposed to bear it on his back.
Wash the feet.
Come on. Jesus sat and washed the feet of the apostles, of his disciples, when they was arguing, like, I don't want to wash your feet. Mm-hmm. I don't want to wash your feet. Jesus. And when we was back in Knoxville in college, we heard this bomb message. This man, like, Terry just talking about it. He said, and he went through that scripture where Jesus cleansed the feet of his disciples. And he, because context matters, he broke it down to us and he explained to us, which our present day, we have clean streets. We have indoor plumbing. Back then, people would throw feces and trash on the street.
Well, it's like your gutter was right outside your front
your
door.
Your gutter was right outside the door. Mm-hmm. And when you walked and you took journeys, you would walk in not only dirt and mud and the elements, but you will also be walking through trash and feces and all. So when you enter somebody's house, and you know, those times you had to clean your feet. So the fact that Jesus got down on his knees and was cleaning their feet. He was cleaning every, and they was too big. All right, I done this, and I am this, and I'm so great. And Jesus humbled himself. And they was like, Jesus, you ain't got to wash my feet. And Jesus was like, but I'm doing this. And he does that because he loves us. Mm-hmm. So when we hear and when we see Paul say what the husbands are supposed to do, I get so sick of when people, at the first thing out their mouth is, how do you submit to your husband? What? Can we get more men and women of God to stop saying that and start saying, husbands, how are you the head and the spiritual rock of your family?
Head on over to Instagram and give both of us a follow so we can each meet our goals. I'm shooting for 1K and Janae's headed for her first 10K.
Like, now that women are free to speak, are free to have a voice, are free to go.
Ooh, you about to ruffle some feathers, John. You about to ruffle some feathers.
Like, I feel like the church hasn't caught up to that. And so when a woman starts to speak and share her mind, it's like, oh, hush down. Have you submitted to your husband? It's like a check. Like, sit down and play wife. Have you submitted to your husbands? Don't come up here and try to challenge the way the church is functioning and maybe dysfunctional because you've got other ideas. Have you submitted to your husband? Because your husband didn't bring this idea to me. Because there's too many men out here in the church who aren't in the Word, who aren't leading their families. And so the wives are the spiritual heads. Right? There's so much more that God wants for us.
Oh, Jesus.
As men and women.
Mm-hmm. As married couple, because we are supposed to demonstrate
the church and Christ. Both of y'all be in the Word. Both of y'all read. Do some Bible study with some other men's, with some other women's. Do some Bible study with some other couples. You know, mix things up. I think there is a lot of power in men's groups. There's a lot of power in women's groups because there are things that you can be vulnerable in ways that you cannot do when there's other women or men or whatever in the room.
Mm-hmm.
But you should have relationship in all those different ways. Guide the relationships in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Husbands with other husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Wives with other wives. Mm-hmm. Those relationships should exist. Married couples with other married couples, those relationships should exist. And those shouldn't be the only relationships you should have. You should have a diverse blend. You should have single friends. You should have divorced, widowed friends. You should have, I wish there was no divorce, but...
It's the thing.
You should have single friends if you're married. If you're single, you should have married friends. If you're young, you should have older friends. Like, don't fall into this, like, single lens and single mindset. Because that won't challenge you. That's not the way the church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be a homogeneous mix of people. Like, there is no mix. It's just a hard, fast line.
Mm-hmm. I think we have to consider really the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus came back to restore everything that was broken from the fall. And before Adam and Eve ate from the tree, Adam and Eve had dominion, they had power, they walked in authority, they were equal. And I think that when we really think about the fact that Jesus came to restore, we have to also consider that in the dynamic of what a marriage looks like and even what submission looks like.
Mm-hmm.
I think that so often when we hear what Jesus did, it's always for the sins and it's never for the restoration. Like, when we really consider everything in our world that has been broken because of that fall from grace, and think about, okay, if I'm saying that I accepted Jesus, that he's my Lord and Savior, that I believe that he died and he rose again, that I have confessed my sins to him and I'm repenting, I'm turning away from the things that, you know, bother God and grieve his heart, then I'm walking into not only this new life and this new afterlife that I'm gonna have in heaven or on the new earth. What does that restoration also look like in relationships and marriage from what it should have been to what it is? Like, I think too often we don't consider the restoration power in marriage, so it's not so much built around a servanthood. Like, let's also be redeemed from the curse of, let's be redeemed from the curse of marriages where we're not on equal footing.
So when we think about the fall and we think about how God cursed Adam and Eve, he cursed Adam as it relates to working by the sweat of his brow. And he cursed Eve in terms of labor and in terms of rearing the children. So oftentimes people like to say the equal to a man being a provider is a woman staying at home and cleaning and cooking. Dare I say that that's part of the man working by the sweat of his brow? We know that the devil is not equal to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Yes, the devil is a contender and he's very divisive and he is full of trickery. So it makes, he tricks us into believing that he's bigger and badder and grander than he is. So when we think about the way that God cursed Adam and Eve, it's not equal to compare the working by the sweat of the brow for the husband and then the wife doing housework. Dare I say part of that curse was some of her voice got diminished. Dare I say that's why we see in the early church why women didn't speak and weren't allowed to speak and kind of were in the back. And then when Jesus came back, he came back to restore women to their rightful place, not only in marriage, but also in church, because that's why the first message that was spoken after Jesus came back was from a woman. Go and tell them that I'm alive. Go and tell them that I have risen. That's the gospel. That's the gospel because it's straight out the good news. So again, when we think about redemption from the curse, Jesus didn't come back to save us from sin and save us from hell and save us from the enemy. He came back to restore everything that was lost and broken when Adam and Eve fall. It's up to us to realize that and to claim that back. So again, the match to Adam's working by the sweat of his brow is not housework. The equal to that part of the curse was labor and child rearing, right? I think Proverbs 31 is a beautiful example that the Father has given us not to be this Proverbs 31 woman, because God gave all of us a special assignment, but to show that women could do it all. Women could do multiple things, and we need help to do those things.
Right. And this whole, like, marriage is hard, marriage is tough.
Uh-oh.
Like, get that.
We is probably ruffling feathers, baby.
Like, that mindset of, like, you posture yourselves to think your marriage is tough because you say that over and over again. Like, if you say a lie long enough, you believe it to be the truth.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right.
I think.
And marriage has opportunities for growth. Marriage, iron sharpens iron.
Mm-hmm.
And as a married couple, you are iron to each other. You call each other out on your shortcomings. You make sure each other steps up to the plate and does things that they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that sometimes might not always feel good. It might challenge you to grow.
Mm-hmm.
It might call out your shortcomings
mm-hmm.
and make you be better.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that hurts your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that hurts your emotions and mm-hmm. just your well-being of like, man, I really messed up and I hurt that person. Or, man, they really hurt my feelings calling me out. But that's what you need.
This is, and I've talked to a couple of my friends about this. Like when we read about marriage, what God says about marriage is that marriage is of Him. What God says about marriage is that marriage adds to you grace and adds to you favor and adds to you blessings. We believe that marriage can be easy. We do believe that marriage has hard moments and challenging moments, but that ratio shouldn't be 50-50. That ratio that challenging part, that difficult part, like that is not the stamp of everything. For example, I'll use me for an example. I have a business. I'm an entrepreneur. Every day is not the same thing. Every day's challenge is not the same thing. I'm not going to say just because I had one difficult day or one difficult week or one difficult month that I have a hard business. I'm going to choose to say I was in a challenging season. I was in a difficult season. I just think we have to be more proactive about the language that we use around our relationships, around our friendship, and around our marriage. I'm not saying that we have to lie, but I do think we have to sit down and really be clear on their perspective and the way in which we are going to talk about these things. Again, don't lie, because like we said this in previous, some people really do have hard marriages. Some people's marriages is 80% bad and 20% good.
Hopefully that doesn't stay that way forever.
Hopefully. But we ain't gonna make no mistakes about that. But for us and our marriage, the way we tackle it, the way we handle it, we have had weeks, even being back here, where we have just been at each other's necks. We have mm-hmm. been arguing. We have been loud with each other. We have been nasty to each other. We have been short with each other. We have been sharp with each other. But that's not the total the total sum of our relationship. Mm-hmm. That's not the, it's not. And the thing about us is we forgive fast. Ooh, this video, y'all just hang on with us. This is a long one, but it's okay. Might even be a two-parter. I doubt it. I'm going to make it one. But we forgive fast. Mm-hmm. And we both, this does go back to the submission. We have a heart to hear the other person's grievances. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I think it's important for us to consider and other people to consider that every person's marriage is different. Mm-hmm. And I've said that before and I'm going to say it again. What works for our marriage is not going to work for the next person's marriage. But I believe if the husband and the wife that are in covenant with each other and God have set out how they want their home life to be, and both people feel good about it, they feel seen and they feel heard, then we have no judgments against that. I think too often, whichever camp you are in, there are judgments thrown that you're doing it wrong. So if you are someone who you and your husband, y'all might share different responsibilities, you know we might feel like, oh my God, I can't believe that the wife is doing all of that and the husband, like, if that's the way they set their marriage up and it's really working for them, and again, I will say this, both parties feel good about it. Yeah. And both of them feel seen and respected and loved, then that's their marriage and they're happy. And there can be no judgment for, I mean, there can be, but we can't put our mouths on them saying what's right and wrong for them. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't work for us, but it's them. And then vice versa, someone who has, you know, they have these gender roles that are set and that's how they like to do it. There can be no, you know, because he washes the dishes sometimes, or because he
changes some diapers.
Yeah. I think if both, in either of those situations, if both parties feel good, they like the direction of, you know, what's happening, mm-hmm. they feel loved, they feel respected. Both parents, when you have kids, now this, both parents are actually present in the children's lives. They're actually present in rearing the children. I think you just have to let people... Mm-hmm.
You have to allow people their own personalities and mm-hmm. their own, like, and their own relationships. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I like what you said about, as long as both people feel
good about this,
have their needs filled.
Mm-hmm. Over and above, really.
Over and above.
Can't just be the bare minimum.
Not just emotionally feel supported and loved and feel like they've got what they need. Mm-hmm. Because they believe that the Bible says that a woman has to stay at home, and so they shouldn't object to it. Like, if you want more than that, say you want more than that.
Yeah.
Your husband should respect you enough as a person and as a partner to honor that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just goes back to the division and direction of what you want your house to be. But I think...
I agree with you in that both camps can be very judgy about the other way. Mm-hmm. I agree. And I've fallen suspect to that.
Me as well. Which is why it needed to be said.
As long as there's love there and it's an agreement and that both people are...
Respected
and cared for.
And they feel good about it.
Yeah.
I think where it gets tricky is when one person doesn't feel good about it, but they're just quiet and won't say anything.
Yeah.
Okay. That's us. That's our take on submission. So, if you're in my comments... From here on out, don't ask me how I'm submitting to John. Don't do that.
When was the last time you got that?
Baby, if we sit and go through our comments.
I was just asking. Oh, I know it happens a lot of our videos.
So, don't ask, really, people, pastors, ministers, anybody. Mm-hmm. Stop asking women how they going to submit before you ask the man how is he building himself up to be the spiritual rock of his family. Period. Because if it falls on his head, then it needs to go to him first.
Amen, Basta.
So, thank you to our Patreons who have...
Our patrons.
Thank you to our patrons. If you want to join, you can join for as low as $5 a month. And if you are in our Patreon, you would have already gotten a bonus video from us talking about our political views and how we take and tackle politics as a millennial married couple, as an interracial couple, as a Christian couple. You have access to that video in your account now.
Video is mostly about as a Christian couple. That's like the forefront of it.
Yeah. You can get to it by clicking on the card here. There will be a link to our Patreon in the comment section below. That's all we have for now. See y'all soon.
Be blessed.
Be blessed. Bye.